Johnny Mack with your daily comedy news. As expected, Late Night commented on the retirement of Tom Brady. Trevor Noah parsed the words in Tom Brady's retirement statement. Other things that require my attention? That's a weird reason to retire. It sounds like he's got household chores. I love playing in the NFL, but I've got 20 years of laundry piling up, so it's time to call it quits. Kimmel, what he's accomplished is amazing. 22 years in the league, 7 Super Bowl victories, 5 MVP trophies, all the while just eating one almond a day. A quarterback retiring at 44 is like the rest of us retiring from our jobs at 95. Fallon, man, when they said everybody's quitting their jobs during the pandemic, they meant everybody. Corden, Brady's now in his mid-40s, jobless, and has no real traditional work experience, so he's going to fit right in Florida. And Trevor, now that Tom Brady's put up his cleats, the question is, was Tom Brady the best football player of all time? Some people say yes, because he holds all the records and won the most Super Bowls. Other people say no, because he didn't do that for my team. David Letterman. It was his 40th anniversary. Did I mention that? Yes, he has announced a new YouTube channel. It's got a bunch of clips. Kind of was excited, then spent some time on it. It's got that modern style. Here's 5 minutes of whatever with like a modern style graphic. Have you been on the YouTube? Have you seen this website? If you've been on YouTube, you know what I'm talking about. It's just like an oversized graphic and like, I don't know. I can't even explain it, but I was like, I just want unedited clips, or I want to see Chris Elliott, or throw stuff off a tower. I don't care that you interviewed Tom Hanks in 1997. That's not what I want, Dave. Dave was on Late Night with Seth Meyers. I shared that on the subreddit, which is called Daily Comedy News, and the Facebook group, which is called Daily Comedy News Facebook Group. They were talking about Dave's morning show. I need to do a deep dive on that. I don't know if I've ever seen it. I want to go hunting on YouTube for clips. Letterman said the daytime show replaced 2 or 3 game shows, and it turned out America didn't want them replaced. They certainly didn't want them replaced by me. After that show was canceled, Dave sat around for a year more nervous than ever, saying, it seemed like an eternity, because in show business, if you screw something up like blowing up a network's daytime schedule, could be a while before they call your number again. He did get that second chance, but says he was consumed by paralytic fear. I was still living with this trepidation that, well, this can't possibly go any better than the other one went. Seth Meyers talked about his own hosting and saying, one thing I should have understood from watching your show is that people that watch your show tend to watch it every night. On Thursday, you can call back to Monday with the sense that they probably were there with you, and that became a nice, intimate connection. I'll jump ahead here for this own show. It's why I use recurring bits, and that is a Letterman influence on me. Things like when I say National Donuts chain, or I keep saying that I'm going to buy Glenn 5/7 of a beer. It is coy language, but it becomes the language of the podcast. And as we'll see later, some listeners are connecting with me and are using the language back. And that's how you build community. So it's pretty cool that you guys use the language of the show. I wish everybody had done this Letterman stuff, you know, in advance, not waiting until the day to talk to people like Paul Schaefer, but that's what Vulture did. Vulture asked Paul Schaefer, how does that initial era of Letterman contrast with the later CBS Elder Statesman years? This would have been really helpful in January when I was doing all the Letterman stuff there, Vulture. Paul Schaefer said, there's a lot of experimentation. Sometimes it bombs, sometimes successful. But the feeling was, we have license to try anything. Who's watching? When we moved to 11:30, the feeling was, people are watching. The show may have gotten a little bit safer. I totally agree. I have talked about this. I loved the first year of 11:30 Letterman. And then it just felt like, I think Paul nailed it. Safe. It didn't have that 12:30 who cares attitude. It was like establishment Letterman. And I really didn't watch Dave's. I'm doing the math in my head. He retired, what, like 10 years ago and moved to CBS. So I probably didn't watch the last 15 years of Letterman. And that just seems incredible to me. But I also haven't really listened to the last 15 years of Howard Stern, who I once loved. Paul said, the show may have gotten a little safer. He didn't want to get involved with something that wasn't going to be successful or funny. I was expected to keep up with the change too, get a bigger band, look like more of a presentation. The 4-piece band just wasn't going to cut it anymore. Some of Paul's favorite bits from the early years. The time when the screen rotated 360 degrees. I understand they got a lot of complaints since halfway through it was upside down. I remember that night like it was yesterday. We tried something like that way later at the Ed Sullivan Theater. Let's do a show at 4 a.m. So everybody set their alarms. The bad part, it was the same shot of him at the desk. It could have been any time, but I took advantage of it. At the time, I was doing a James Brown cape bit every Friday night during a commercial. They'd come back in the middle of the station break and see me with a different celebrity putting the cape on me, from President Donald Trump to Heidi Klum, everybody in between. For this 4 a.m. show, I got to do it right in the middle of Broadway, down on my knees screaming like James Brown, and the doorman from Flashdancer's Topless Club, still open at 4, came out with the cape and put it on me. This next topic surprised me. Vulture asked Paul Schaefer, who got the impression of Paul Schaefer right over the years? Was it Gary Kruger, Mark McKinney, Chris Kattan? Paul said, all of them capture some elements of my bizarre character that I try to do, but there's nothing like when Chris Elliott tried to do it on Letterman. He nailed me. I have shared that on the Facebook group. I watch that clip maybe once a week. It is amazing. Go on YouTube, type in Chris Elliott, Paul Schaefer. It'll come up. It is amazing. Paul, is there a particular Letterman impression you're a fan of? Paul said, Norm Macdonald, I guess. There's a feeling in satire. You can only do somebody great if you really love them. When I kidded Sammy Davis on those early Letterman days or talk like Tony Orlando, it was because I really love those people and their talent, but they're so over the top, you just have to send it up. Vulture, long piece with Paul Schaefer. They also talked about Paul's time on SNL. You definitely want to check that out. Jay Leno, he's the guy that took the Tonight Show from Dave. Boo! Jay Leno is in St. Petersburg tonight. The St. Petersburg Catalyst caught up with him and said, the tour that brings you here was canceled twice because of COVID. What's the pandemic been like for you, Jay Leno? Jay Leno said, for me, it hasn't been too bad. If this happened at the beginning of my career, it would have been a nightmare. Now that I'm in the twilight or whatever you want to call it, it's not the end of the world. I always said to myself, if I'm ever fortunate enough to make it, I'm not going to be one of those guys who turns down a gig because it's not enough money or it's too far away or whatever. So consequently, when I did start to make it, I kept that pledge and I took every date that was offered pretty much. I didn't want to be snobby. I didn't want to be complacent. When you're in your late 60s, early 70s, and you're forced to stay home, it's not the worst thing in the world. It's not the worst thing in your early 50s either. I'd never taken 5 days off. So I was like, all right, I didn't complain about anything because I'd made my money. It's in the bank. If everything ends tomorrow, I'm okay. It's gravy at this point. Jay talked about keeping his act fresh. He says, when you're out that long, you have a tendency to stay with the material too long. When you realize you're doing bits about Reagan's trip to Bitburg, you got to get rid of that one. What happened was I was off the road for almost a year and I'd forgotten everything. So I'm starting fresh with new material. I like it. It's fun. I'm a lemonade from lemons kind of guy. I'm not a bitch, moan, and complain guy. Tell me what the rules are and I'll conform to them. Awful Announcing took a look at this new Kevin James, Sean Payton football Bounty Gate movie. The one Adam Sandler is a producer or something. They killed it from Awful Announcing. The footage must exist. Somewhere at Netflix headquarters, there's video evidence of the pitch meeting for Home Team. That's the name of the movie. Couldn't think of it. Would love to see the look on executives' faces when the Happy Madison production team first unveiled the idea of turning the aftermath of Bounty Gate into a family movie. You remember the scandal. The New Orleans Saints paid bonuses for intentionally injuring opposing players. Maybe Netflix was originally horrified and confused. Maybe Netflix didn't care. Content rules and Adam Sandler's production company gets paid a lot of money to make films. An unfunny comedy? Fine. Kevin James as Sean Payton? Fine. Projectile vomiting as a plot device? Sure. Criticism be damned. Everything is fine, just as long as people watch. Awful Announcing continues. Almost every adult is as multidimensional as a cardboard cutout. Nobody seems particularly interesting. Kevin James spends most of his time wearing Saints gear as if he needs to constantly remind the audience that he's Sean Payton, even though he looks nothing like Sean Payton, the coach. You'd never believe he was a coach at any level. While Kevin James is dull, the movie does him no favors with a supporting cast. Instead of character development, we get too many oddball characters. The worst of the bunch is Rob Schneider, that's a shocker, who is seemingly contracted to appear in every Happy Madison production. As per usual, Rob Schneider plays a weirdo. This time, he's a new age stepdad weirdo. We're unfortunately introduced to him sharing a snuggie with Peyton's ex-wife at a football game. That's a joke straight out of 2008. There's a joke in the industry about how Adam Sandler makes movies to simply get paid for hanging out with relatives and friends. Home Team only reinforces that because Sandler's wife, daughter, and nephew are all in this movie. Adam Sandler, who I'm blaming for this, has created a family business and is laughing all the way to the bank. He sure is, even if we're not. I was listening back to the show yesterday. So part of my routine is I get up in the morning, I go to the National Donuts chain. You've heard me talk about that. And I listen back to the show, not because I'm an egomaniac. I just want to make sure that like I didn't blow an edit, or the mistake I tend to make every now and then is I forget to label the file and give it a title. So I will have downloaded, say, DCN Feb 3. That's not what I want to title the episode. So I do that listening. And I was listening back to yesterday's show, and I don't feel like yesterday's episode clicked. Hopefully you didn't notice, and my career has been as a programmer in radio, and one of the things we teach hosts and producers is you can't overstress about one show. You'll have a great show, you'll have a bad show. Bad shows happen. When I do the podcast, I want every podcast to be awesome. Of course I do. But that's just not how it works. Some days you feel great. Some days you don't get in the zone. Yesterday, I never felt like I was in the zone. And I had mentioned my back was killing me. Today, my back is achy, but I feel like I'm in the zone today. I'm rolling. I actually just bumped three stories because I went long in the first half, but I'm feeling good and I'm planning on recording a bunch of podcasts for some upcoming travel while I'm in the zone here. The other thing that happened yesterday was I was struggling through the episode and my wife came home. She does not give a hoot, man. Dropping stuff in the kitchen. And you think you can go upstairs and be like, can you keep it down? I'm trying to record my comedy podcast in the basement. Imagine doing that and getting like, you know, I went food shopping and nobody helped me. Da, 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 da. So I didn't love yesterday's show. Hope you enjoyed it. Oh, the whole point of all that is as I was listening back, I realized I blew such a good opportunity for a joke. Can I shoehorn it in here? I was doing the story about what's his name from Game of Thrones and the whole Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs controversy and how Brad Williams was commenting on it and how Brad Williams used to open for Carlos Mencia. The joke I blew was that explains why Carlos Mencia does so many jokes about being a little person. I blew it. See, Carlos Mencia is a notorious joke thief. If you'd like to participate in the madness, you can go to podinbox.com/dailycomedynews and leave a voicemail. And Lane Spurkis, thank you, Lane, discovered one of the features on podinbox.com/dailycomedynews. You can leave a tip there. He threw $5 in the tip jar. Thank you, Lane Spurkis. And as you know, you can go to buymeacoffee.com/dailycomedynews if you dig the show. Someone bought two large iced coffees. They didn't give their name. They just wrote someone. So thank you, someone. And someone wrote, keep that national donut chain honest and buy Glenn that 5/7 of a beer. That's how I started my morning. I saw that message. I did a screenshot, sent it to Glenn. And I was like, hey, Glenn, we have fans. Are we hitting trivia? Glenn's like, I never had fans. So we decided to hit trivia. Now, through the nature of time travel, I can't tell you how we did at trivia because right now trivia is in my future. But right now, trivia is in your past. I'll let you know tomorrow how we did. And my plan going into last night in your world was to get a picture of Glenn with 5/7 of a beer. Buymeacoffee.com/dailycomedynews. Let's head to Gossip Corner. A source tells Page Six, Kim Kardashian truly wants Kanye to be at peace with their marriage being over and find happiness. She's worried about how all these things are being played out so publicly on Kanye's end, how they'll affect the kids in the future. Kanye is trying to get Kim to come back from dating Pete Davidson. The source say Kanye's actions in an effort to convince Kim to come back are actually bringing Pete and Kim closer together. The Rock says he might go on Joe Rogan. Dwayne The Rock Johnson told Joe Rogan he looks forward to coming on the podcast one day and, quote, breaking out the tequila with you. On Netflix today, Murderville, that Will Arnett thing, The Hollywood Reporter recapped. It sounds like it's pretty good. As puzzles go, Murderville looks like a blast to solve. Each episode, a different celebrity guest is invited to partner with Detective Terry Seattle, hate that name, played by Will Arnett, to solve a murder, the twist being that although Arnett and the rest of the cast know where the story's headed, the celebrity guest does not. That is a good premise. The celebrity is left to improvise their way through each case. It's part improv, part immersive experience, and part scripted crime comedy. And if you're thinking two out of three sounds more interesting to do than to watch, you'd be right. It's not that Murderville's a bad time. It's got a likable cast, good guest stars, but the six episodes range from faintly amusing to reasonably diverting. Some of the guests include Conan O'Brien, Ken Jeong, Kumail Nanjiani. I'll probably get to that over the weekend. Hey, tonight, it's the Podcast Awards. Are you excited? Whew, can't wait, man. These are the iHeartRadio Podcast Awards, so they'll be busting out their talent. Some of the people scheduled to appear, Jason Bateman, Will Arnett, and Sean Hayes from the Smart Less podcast. The Office Ladies, Jenna Fisher and Angela Kinsey, they'll be there. Bowen Yang, because he's got a podcast, Las Culturistas. Will Ferrell. Did that let that out? The nominees for Best Comedy Podcast. Sadly, this one not on the list. Your nominees are Comedy Bang Bang. Comedy Bang Bang being the only live show I ever walked out of. I was in Chicago with a coworker who I won't out. We were sitting there and we were watching it and we never leave shows. Even though we were industry, our industry, we don't leave shows. This one, we sat there and we were like, this isn't going to get better, is it? And we left. I know that won't make me friends, but Comedy Bang Bang, not going to get my vote. Las Culturistas, my brother and me, Smartless, and The Read. Whew, if I had a pick there, Wow, I'm just staring at that list. I wouldn't have nominated any of those. I'll give it to Las Culturistas just because I dig Bo and Yang, but whew, I don't know what's going to win that. That's a weird set of nominations. I do have a recommendation for you. Tom Papa's Breaking Bread, his guest, Jim Gaffigan. Very good episode. Check that out. I shared it on my Good Pods list. I've got a million things to plug now, but it's in the Good Pods playlist. Or, you know, use the app on the phone that's probably in your hand right now and just type in Tom Papa and look for the Jim Gaffigan episode. It's like four or five down. Very good listen. And that is your comedy news for today. All right, I sold you enough coffee and plugs and everything, so let's just leave. You know where to follow the show. See you tomorrow. See, today was good. I like today.